kind of meandering back. Karen says we can do lunch at 11:15-ish. It's a box lunch. I want to accommodate schedules and priorities. You want to stop and have lunch. You want to have a working lunch as we go through. I'm hearing working lunch. Working lunch. We got a majority of two right now on working lunch.
Three, four.
It's done. So Karen, can we do a working lunch?
Yep, we're ready. You can come.
Okay. Well, let's see how we get. Let's see what 11:15-ish looks like, and we'll see where we are. Hearing no objections to a working lunch, that's our plan. Okay. President, we've made a couple decisions in your absence.
Yeah.
All right, call on Student Affairs Committee, Chairman Ridley.
We have our committee members present today, Regent Harris, Regent Porter, Regent Ritchie, and Dr. Smith, Regent Dr. Smith. And today we have the pleasure of Brian Kuster being with us, and he is going to lead this portion since we have basically information items only. And with that, welcome. Glad you're well. Thank you.
Thank you. I was excited that yesterday at therapy they changed me from a walker to a cane. So it's the little things that make you happy.
How's that new knee working out for you?
2.5 weeks out, it's better than it was before. So that's saying a lot. I'm hoping another 3 weeks I'll be out there running around and jogging. Thank you. And again, I appreciate the opportunity to provide a couple information items, and this being my first committee meeting, I did want to introduce Dr. V. Lynn Holland. Dr. Holland is the new Dean of Students and Assistant Vice President for Student Affairs, and I'd like for Lynn just to introduce herself and talk a little bit about what her role is currently.
Good morning. I will serve multiple roles within the Division of Student Affairs. I'm excited about these roles. One of those roles will be the Assistant Vice President of Student Affairs, and I will assist Brian with the day-to-day operations within the division. The other role that I will play is the Dean of Students, and with that, there are a number of functional areas that will report to me. One of those areas is the Office of Judicial Affairs. Another area is the Counseling Center, the Counseling and Testing Center. The other area is the Center for Career and Professional Development, and last area is the Student Accessibility Resource Center. The third area that I will be working in is the Chief Diversity Officer. And in that role, there are multiple initiatives that we will be focusing on. Working primarily with students, we will be looking at recruitment and retention. We will also be focusing on providing the resources. It was exciting to see the literacy presentation earlier today, because one of the things that we will be focusing on is helping our underrepresented student populations develop the skill set that they need in order to be successful here. And the last thing that we will be focusing on will be graduation. So from recruitment all the way out, walking across that stage to graduation. Two of the units that we're going to listen to today to do a presentation towards that area of recruitment, retention, and graduation. We have Robert Unsell with us. Robert is the director of the Center for Career and Professional Development, and he is also the director of the Student Accessibility Resource Center. So Robert is going to spend some time talking with us about career pathways, an initiative that we have within the Center for Career and Professional Development to help those students, to retain them, and then also help them on to graduation and then to securing employment once they graduate. So thank you very much. Mr. Unsell?
Well, hello. Nice to be up here to say hi to you, Mike, folks, today. And I want to talk to you a little bit about career pathways. In our office, we like to see ourselves as the admissions office for the rest of the world, for the world of work. And we have put together career pathways as a way to ease a student's transition from being a student to being an employable member of our society. Now, we started off by looking at where our office fit within the university a couple years back and doing a couple key changes to see if we could gather some more information. First thing we did is 3 or 4 years ago, we started an executive apprentice mentoring program where we took a cross-section of seniors, not the rising stars that are involved in everything, not the students who are always on the cusp or kind of underrepresented in graduation, but what we felt like it was an equal representation of students across the board. And from that, we were looking to learn what activities, career services-wise, professional skill development-wise, were actually beneficial to getting students to graduation and also successfully engaging that next step after graduation. Some other things we did is we looked at where our counselors were doing the majority of their career counseling and repositioned them just from inside of our office to do work in the academic colleges on locations at least once a week. And then the last piece we did is recognizing the students' financial needs to stay enrolled on campus. We transitioned from just doing full-time post-academic career job fairs and internship fairs to also integrating part-time job fairs. Now from that, we learned a lot. First thing we learned is that money matters. Our students can put money in their pocket, they're more likely to be retained. And we know that from our satisfaction surveys and from students actually bringing us cards saying, thank you, because of this part-time job from the part-time job fair, I'm able to stay in. Something else we learned is that proximity matters. When our counselors are out in the colleges, their caseload increases. Their ability to connect increases. And the students they touch stay more connected to our office. And then finally, we realize that the connections matter. The students who are connected with our counselors are graduating at a higher rate. Now, we've been tracking this through our sign-in sheets, through doing focus groups, through having satisfaction surveys that we give out to everyone who visits the office within a week of their visit. All of this information, we are heading in the direction of career pathways. And what career pathways are is a grouping of our services that we know work with students that are geared towards lowering the barrier of entry into receiving career services. Now, when I say the barrier of entry, we have found that our students think that they need to be a completely realized professional before they talk to people at the career center. Well, that's the complete opposite of what we're there for. We're there to help any and every student realize that inner professional. So what we've, through these focus groups, through these conversations, we've realized if we can package these services in a way that will help ease that cost, reduce that fear, we can then actually work towards some design outcomes. And that's what these are. Now in front of you, I've put those little packets. Something that the students have told us is that they want this package to be handy. They want it up front. They want almost a reward program. So we're taking these things designed to reach a specific outcome. And our goal is to increase employability. Now we're not doing this in a vacuum. We're working with our national organizations to get their data from the national market. We're talking to our employers, to our job fairs, about what they consider important. And we have an ongoing conversation with the Chamber of Commerce where we're talking about student employability, not just at the baccalaureate level, but at the graduate level, at the part-time level. So we're trying to increase that employability, and we also want to make sure that the follow-ups are built in from the beginning. What we have seen, and we talk about a great deal in our division, is that students fall off the radar of an engaged staff member or an engaged faculty, they're more likely to leave the university. So we want to make sure they're staying ready at the frontmost of our vision and view. And the last thing is we want to make sure if any employer calls and say they want a rock star, that we can tell them every WKU Hilltop is a rock star. So this is Career Pathways. This is a handout I gave you. Is a representation of what we're likely to give students. We're at around the 90% stage before we roll this out in the fall. Our hope is that addressing at least these five areas to start will match that gamification need that our students are expressing, where they have a clear path, something they can quickly look at and understand if it's what's right for them, and an outcome that matches kind of the precipitating need that gets them to start that conversation with us. I plan on taking 10 minutes, but I don't think I'm anywhere near 10 minutes.
No one will argue.
Are you sure?
Yes.
I could dance. I'm not very good, but I can look in there. I can do that for a little bit. So are there any questions?
Are they being distributed now?
They are not. Yeah. Our goal is to roll this out with the start of fall semester. Yes.
When do they meet with a career counselor? What's the first meeting?
First meeting. For most of our students, they first come in contact with a career counselor in a classroom presentation. So our career counselors will work with a faculty member in a college, do maybe an overview of services or a resume preparation for that specific discipline area. And then from there, that triggers them to come to our office. Either that or ADD, Head to the Hill, or other academic recruiting events. And then after that, they come to us. So, you know, we do not require students to participate in our services. They have to opt in. So outside of those presentations, the students opt in. You know, with presentations and traffic through the door, we meet with about 9,000 students a semester. So that's more than 2 Hilltoppers. And that's about half of where we want to be. So we're trying to use this as a way to engage them to come in initially.
Yeah. I have a question.
Yes.
Who are the career counselors? What makes them? Are they part of the faculty? Are they outside, a combination?
They are staff career counselors. Most of our career counselors have master's degrees in counseling and student personnel.
Uh-huh.
We have them aligned with the different academic colleges. We have Adrian Browning, who works with the College of Business. Lana Kunkel was one of our career counselors. She just accepted another role. She worked with science and engineering and education. Tess McKinley works with the College of Health and Human Services. And then our last career counselor, Jeremy Jenkins, he works with University College and Potter College of Arts and Arts. In their role, it's not just doing the career counseling, but we are making sure we're putting a footprint of career counseling in the academic colleges. So we work with staff in those respective areas or faculty in the respective area to make sure that there is a cohesive professional development component that works in with our syllabus. So for freshmen, if there is a part of the freshman experience that involves resume prep, we want one of our career counselors in there leading that conversation along with the faculty. If it's a capstone course where we're talking about employability and actually doing some of the marketability piece to being make that next step, we want to be a part of that. Something else we do is with our on-campus events, as we come in contact with employers, we are working diligently pass those employer contacts to the faculty members in that area to involve the employer perspective in the classroom. You know, we liken ourselves to kind of a conduit to making sure that if employer, irrespective of their company, is looking for a type of discipline, we can connect them with that discipline, and they have one contact within the university as opposed to trying to maintain multiple contacts. Yes.
When you were commenting on money matters, mm-hmm. students with jobs are retained.
Yeah.
Did you find any difference, or did your study look at any difference between students who have jobs on campus as opposed to off?
We have not looked at that.
Okay.
At this point, our data is very sparse. We're a part of this program is to develop some metrics where we can really be able to connect back. You know, if someone comes to our career recruiting, they don't necessarily follow up. And when we follow up with them, sometimes they don't answer that follow-up. But we do want to distinguish between that. And something we've just started within the past 2 years is having on-campus job fairs as well. So at the end of the semester, let's say spring, we have an on-campus job fair for those positions in the fall. And that has helped quite a bit in making sure that some of our students who are on the fence, they get their job, they'll stick around at least for one more semester. So we do have a lot of room for area for growth in that category.
Do you get freshman students at that kind of fair?
We do. My favorite is when we have a student at ATP who is very, very interested in working on campus. For our use, if a student has an 800 number, once they have that, they can come to these events. And hopefully, I know just through our office, we have hired incoming freshmen several times, and we also encourage departments to do that. You know, and some of the feedback we've gotten, a good one is from the AMS group. They participated in one of our on-campus job fairs. Is that through that interaction, there were students whom they wouldn't typically think would be interested in working with them, because they were students outside of their discipline. If, you know, for the most part, if you teach one major, you assume the people who work in that office are from the same major. But we've been able to help diversify some of that. And then a lot of times there may be a little conversion from the major they were in before to what they're working with alongside those faculty. So I think it's pretty exciting when we have an opportunity to give a student an avenue to pursue more collegiate work when they thought that door would be closed. Yes.
Thank you very much. It's very important. Two programs that exist that your staff might be able to tap into, and one would be Leadership Bowling Green, and the other one is Leadership Kentucky.
Yeah.
And those two programs would put your career counselors in a position of networking within resources that would, again, impact the students. So that might be a suggestion that you'd look into. Obviously, it would take some funds to get them enrolled, but I do think that would be beneficial for the direct reason that you're trying to place these students in part-time, full-time, post-career position.
I agree. You know, any opportunity we have to take the dog and pony, I am so bad with getting cliches wrong, with the dog and pony show on the road, we definitely want to do it. You know, in the past year and a half, I've been traveling to local employers in the Bowling Green community and a little bit outside, letting them know about the opportunities we have for students. We have a grant funded program where we can reimburse based on hours. Our graduates are strong academically and professionally. It's been a couple times I went to an employer and they say, well, I just met with President Ramsey last week, and I say, well, everything he said is true, plus this, and this. So, you know, so thank you for those insights. We'll look into it.
Robert, briefly, would you kind of talk about the regional, what you're doing at regional campuses also?
I will. Each one of our career counselors, not only being assigned an academic college, has a regional campus that they cover. So, and they travel there once a week. We do this in conjunction with the respective chancellors at those different campuses. And at the E-Town campus, we've even been able to provide some walk-in service where you don't even have to wait to get an appointment all week long through the use of training some students. And again, what we are trying to create is an environment where any career need can be met quickly, or in the case of E-Town or our office on campus, within 5 minutes of walking through the door. We're trying to eliminate wait times. We're trying to eliminate the perception that you have to schedule things far out in advance to reach that next career step. You know, at E-Town and then on campus, we do something called MASH, where you meet with someone within 5 minutes to come through the door, and then we schedule follow-ups. And that's a part of what we're doing here. So we want to make sure that once we have a student's interest, that we don't just leave it at one and done. Not help me with my resume. It's what is the broader goal? What's the end game? And let's put together a plan together to reach that end game in a way that makes you more marketable than the other graduates of your class across the nation. Because we want every topper to get a job, and then we want all the other students at other universities to have what's left over. Yes.
I just want to say, I want to commend you and your staff for your comprehensive approach to helping the students and including the regional campuses as well. That's very important. And for looking at, you know, ways that, you know, you serve as an example for the retention efforts that the staff also make at the university, and I applaud that for you.
Thanks.
Good job.
And I'll also just give the student perspective. Thank you for all this work that you're doing. I think this is very helpful, and this is very well done. Very well designed and good, elaborate. It was short, but it was very elaborate and to the point.
I appreciate that.
Absolutely.
Well, thank you all. I'll turn it back over to
Thank you, Robert.
I'd like to introduce Steve Ray, the director of Intramural Recreational Sports, so he can introduce Dr. Todd Meiser.
Well, I appreciate the opportunity for us to be able to present our student engagement and retention study. We're the largest student employer on campus, and we employ roughly about 167 to 175 students a year. And this student engagement really started internally with our student employment and our retention rate of keeping a student who would come to WKU as a freshman, hire them as a student employee in intramural recreational sports, and hopefully that individual would stay with us for 4 years. Our rate of 80% return of students who start either their freshman or sophomore years as employees at intramural recreational sports working in the Preston Center has been very successful for us. And we've given them many opportunities to work in the areas that they are studying on campus. Through working with Todd, we took this to the next level of, okay, we have a strong student engagement and retention internally with our student employees. What are we doing to with student engagement and that retention in the programs and services we offer? And the last few years, we've talked about it from 2010 through 2011. Todd, through working with colleagues in student affairs, academic affairs, enrollment management, and IRB, has completed a study that we'd like to present to you.
Morning, everyone. It's nice to have the opportunity to speak with you. I wanted to share this information, and I guess as a lead into this information, the reason that I chose to look more deeply into the data and the research around retention is within the body of student affairs, we haven't always been tied so heavily to data. We've been tied towards anecdotal information. That sounds really good. But what I've always wanted to know is what's the impact that we're actually having to what matters to this campus, which is retention, student success. And so to do that, I began compiling all the research, working with the institutional research, compiling all of the information from the institution and actually combining our user data. And it's not just user data within Preston Center Intramural Recreational Sports, it's user data within our campus wellness program, which happens all over campus, as well as integration within Greek Affairs. Now, as I progress, I want to use this as the first lead-in. Now, to preface this, I want to make sure we're all on the same page. When I say engagement level, which is the metric at the bottom of the graph, that is a function of several different variables, actually four variables. It's measuring whether or not, for example, everything that a student gets involved in, they get a point. And these are the things that we're able to measure directly. What I mean is actual card swipes, actually measured interactions with students, not anecdotal, not self-report. So these are, a student gets a point if they come to the Preston Center more than two times. They get a point if they become a Greek member, a member of a Greek organization. They get a point if they are an active member of our wellness program, which means they must engage in more than two activities. And the final thing is if they actually participated in intramural sport. And by participate, meaning they actually went on a team and actually did it, not signed up and stayed at home in their fraternity house or whatever, but they actually showed up on the field. Because I wanted to make sure, and these are the only variables I have available to me in student affairs right now. Okay, that's why they're the only ones there. And we're looking forward to adding more variables to that list. And what I want to show you is this bar right here, this is the retention rate over two cohorts of first-year full-time freshmen. And this is not a sample. This is the entire population, okay? The 2013-14 group represents 3,064 students. The 2014-15 represents 2,962 students, okay? And so what you see here is a pattern. And again, I don't want you necessarily to compare the columns as their intensity between each other, but note the pattern. That as students engage, this is outside of the classroom things, they generally stay. And it continues over and over again, year in and year out. Where students are, and keep in mind, the average retention rate within these groups, so basically students who are engaging in two or more things, and these are different things, they're staying on our campus, which we find very interesting. Next, I wanted to point out some of the data from 13-14. These are when these were full-time, first-time freshmen. Okay. 2013, which is the red column. This is the same group of students if they became a full-time sophomore, okay, in 14-15, just to kind of follow and see if that pattern continues from one year to the next. Because I know, for me, what I've seen in the research is the concern group is the freshman and, to some degree, the sophomore. So I wanted to see, okay, is this pattern just a one-year thing or is it an ongoing pattern? And as you can see from the research, the pattern, if you look at the red and then you look at the black, the pattern is the same. It keeps going up. The more engaged a student becomes on our campus in the variety of activities that we can provide, they tend to stay. That sense of community, that sense of the identity of being a WKU student becomes more entrenched in them and they're more likely to stay. Which becomes even more fascinating when we go a little bit in a different direction for our student wellness program. Student wellness program is different in that it basically promotes programs that happen all over campus. And so instead of different things, this is number of events they interacted with. A number of actual scheduled outside the classrooms, and these could be events with the Academic Advising Retention Center. This could be events that were housed through health services. This could be events that we did within our own wellness program stuff. It's all over campus stuff. And we implore people to kind of get with us. We just want to promote it to get students involved. But more importantly, we want to make sure we identify the students that engage. Engagement is key, but identifying who they are is absolutely essential. Now this program here, I would be remiss to say that this is a self-funded program, the WellU program. This program is made possible through an endowment from J. Clifford Todd, and we use the earnings off of that endowment to fund the program as well as other monies that we raise every year. We're not asking for money from Western. We don't receive money from WKU directly to fund this program. And as you can see, as students become more and more engaged, and I might say, just for example, in this column right here represents 960 students, unique students in that particular cohort, and I just have that in the back of my head right now. As these kids engage, they stay. They're interacting with us. We're getting a connection. Now, the really important part that I really feel that I need to emphasize is not necessarily this pattern. The group I'm most interested in revolves around this group here, the end group. And if you refer back to the other charts, that same lower tier group, why? We're able to identify them. We actually know who they are. And through some thinking and some collaborations, like I was very appreciative of that, the reading and college success. It's a phenomenal thing, and they emphasize collaboration, and that's where we are as well. As a division, we want to collaborate. I've been working with all kinds of people all over campus. And by the way, for another presentation down the road, I have this type of data referenced around health behaviors of students. And you'll be amazed at some of the behaviors that are associated with each level. So to conclude, this is where we are. And we think it's an important thing for this board to be aware of, that engaging students, reaching students, connecting students is absolutely an essential part of what Student Affairs does and is accomplishing, and we look forward to providing more in the future. Any questions?
What motivates students to want points?
Part of it is the incentive. There is an incentive-driven part of the student wellness program. Thanks to the endowment, we're able to offer $15,000 in scholarships and prizes to students to engage. But to your point, that's kind of what I'm talking about with reference to this group of students, an internal motivation and interest in engaging. Because sometimes they don't have that. And so that's the big key, is first identifying them and then trying to reach out to them in ways to get them to engage more. But the key is identification and tracking. And that's something that we as a division are working harder and harder to kind of continue to build our data set so that we can more accurately answer those questions and address those students specifically.
When do you begin that process? Can you begin that process before they become students? Can you identify them, or is that too difficult?
We probably could begin identifying them as early as in master plan.
As in when? I'm sorry.
During master plan or freshman orientation,
mm-hmm.
we could potentially begin, but it's a large undertaking, and it's something that we sincerely want to do, I think, but organizationally, it's something that we need to continue to support. Now, I might add, just as a fun thing, because you don't all have the gloss look over you yet. I looked at on-campus students for 2 straight years, okay? Students that lived in our residence halls that were the low-hanging fruit. And I counted 1,652 kids over the last 2 years. First year full-time freshmen, 1,652, who were these, well, on the previous slides, those low-engaging people, in zero or one engagement. We lost 47% of them. Over 700 of them we lost. And they were in our backyard. But we didn't, it's part of it is just starting to look at the data, so we didn't even know that. That's why you look at the data. That's why I'm all for this, all this analytics stuff. I'm numbers nerd, I love this stuff. This is important, because then we can start using it to our advantage by identifying these kids early. We're doing stuff with fifth week assessment in our own department, identifying students that engage in our programs and have risk marks towards them in their fifth of week. So we can start individually, because what we do in student affairs is we connect people. We're nice people. I'm not saying academics aren't nice people. I'm just saying, if I wanted to go out and hang out with somebody, I'm going to go with the student affairs person. I'm sorry. But what I'm saying is, our goal is to really connect with these students on a personal level. If you talk to anybody in housing, that personal connection they develop with students, you can't measure that necessarily, but when you see it in those students and they get that connection, they realize that we actually care and that we're actually invested just inside the classroom but outside the classroom, it pays dividends in so many different ways, not only while they're a student and they get their careers through Robert, and then they eventually decide, maybe I want to give back to my university.
Do we see a racial disparity in retention? And I know that's not evident on these graphs, but
yes. And the pattern is very similar. Again, the engaged individuals of differing minorities, even within the first year full-time freshmen, you see the same pattern. And I have that slide in here. If anyone wants to see more stuff, but the point being is you see this pattern. You know, yes, the retention rate is lower first-year freshmen, or first-generation first-year freshmen. That is lower. It's like 65%. But the pattern still is the same. Still the same. And I might add, some of my retention overall numbers will differ from what the because my data set includes associate's degree students. Okay, so it excludes some of the others. But the reason I wanted associates is I want everybody. We're connecting to everybody. We're not looking at just kids that are in full-time, like coming on our campus. I want to see everybody that we can possibly connect so that we know.
Todd, 2 questions.
Sure.
You're a fitness guy, mm-hmm. Preston Center staff. Is there a correlation between students and their degree of physical fitness and their retention?
Perception of health? Self-reported perception of health, yes. Measured as in self-reported levels, because we measure that using the National College Health Assessment, which is more of a stratified random sample on campus. We just finished that. By the way, thanks again to the support from Dr. Miller. He supported us. So they self-report how frequently they go, and when we look at that, it's not an actual representation of that. But the things that do affect student retention, marijuana use among sophomores, prescription drug abuse within the residence halls and outside the hall among women, smoking, GPA, strong correlation. Now, is it a causal thing? No, I wouldn't begin to go down that road. But what I'm saying is that there's something there, and when you see these statistical associations, you gotta think, okay, I wanna look into that a little bit more and decide whether or not that's how much or what factors play into that. Stress, huge issue. On the huge perception of stress. We actually measure it directly using the perceived stress scale in this random group of students that we get. We actually just getting that data in now. And sleep, as you all know, we found it for our own campus.
Dr. Boyle's not here.
Yeah,
Dr. Bagel.
But sleep, and that sleep specifically among African-American students. I mean, African-American students really suffer with sleep issues, and it shows in the data. And the its overall effect on retention and GPA. And by the way, you see this path? Looks exactly the same when I use GPA. And this is reported GPA from Western. This isn't something that's self-reported. And I have all that here.
I think I'm very pleased to see what you're doing. And I think the significance of it, you've tapped into the research on it. And the other thing that I think you're doing, you're tapping into the one of the number one issues on retention, and that is not feeling a sense of belonging,
yeah,
not connected.
Absolutely.
And I think you're doing that very well.
I'd like to add one more thing, and that's with our work with the fifth week assessment. We found out a lot of things through the fifth week assessment in identifying the students who are in need of some more advisement. We have, believe it was 54% of our freshman sophomore class that who are engaged in one or more activities are successful in the classroom. We found that out. We've been able to identify people on our staff, which is easy because all student employees have to carry a certain GPA. But we've also been able to identify people who participate in our programs and services, I said people, students. And we're reaching out to those students in identifying, saying, hey, you may need to go see an advisor on campus. Here are some things that we're seeing across the board. So that's our next step as well, is working with fifth week assessment to help with the engagement and retention of students.
Thank you all.
One comment, though. Dr. Meisner serves as a fine example of, you know, we've got more and more staff members who are working to get their doctorates and are completing those, and I'm with Todd as well. These certificates that we've approved today by the committees, you know, when you see database decision making, but you know, he and Robert are both working in programs that are staff led, that are working hard for retention efforts at this university, and having the education and having the ability to collect the data and actually making really solid and well-founded database decisions and creating programs for that is to be applauded. So thank you.
Thank you.
No fanfare? We're not going to have a song or something to end this?
I'm saving it for our full meeting. I am going to spend some time with the board to update you on the housing 10-year master plan. And I think that will be very exciting.
No, this has all been exciting, but yeah. Dr. Bale's not here, and I wanted to do something that was a little more.
We did talk about sleep, and
Well, this is some marvelous information, and thank you all, Robert and Todd, and everyone for their participation. That finishes our committee informational report.
Thank you, John.